This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we take a walk down memory lane with Jeanette Force, executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival, who will be stepping down from that job later this year. She talks about the rain, the movie stars, and other things. And now we go inside the Compass. Well, we're here to talk about all good things come to an end. But what motivated your decision to leave your position as executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival?
Well, you know, the board had always said, you know, Jeanette, we realize we need to have a succession plan here. How long do you think you can do this? And I said very casually, oh, you know, probably 10 years. 10 years showed up before we knew it, and it was a fabulous year. I'm so grateful for our 20th anniversary. And I thought, well, you know, I'd probably better think about, you know, what's going to happen. And then it was January, and then it was February. I had just come back from Mexico, and I was going to talk with the staff, and the pandemic.
Yeah.
So then it was clear, well, we're going to have to figure out a whole new way to do business. Mm. So in the process of doing that, and I feel so grateful we were able to, because going digital worked really well for us. But I realized that when we come back as a live festival, it's going to have to be different. So knowing that, it is the right time for me to allow someone else to imagine what this festival can be in the post-COVID world.
So, do you have a precise final day chosen for what will be your last as the executive director?
Well, you know, we generally close between Christmas and New Year. So, I would say that the solstice, which is December 21st,
right,
will be about my sunset.
Your sunset at the solstice. I kind of like that.
And I think by then, we will have hired our replacement, and I will have been able to work side by side with them. And of course, I'm not going anywhere. I'm kind of excited about being a volunteer again.
Oh, you're going to just stay with it, just not be the boss anymore, huh?
Exactly.
I can see why that would be appealing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where I started. I used to do all the special events, and now I can go back to being a party animal.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about this already, but how has the pandemic affected the Port Townsend Film Festival, and how might it affect this last one for you as the boss coming up in September?
Well, you know, to straddle two worlds is going to be challenging. We were so fortunate. Last year in March, we realized that we had to cancel our in-person festival for women and film.
Yeah.
And at the time, we had 18 films lined up to screen live.
Mm-hmm.
And when we canceled and we stepped back and we looked at this beautiful content that would not be seen otherwise, we really wanted to do something else. So we couldn't do it in the same time period because it took some time to set up. But we contacted all of the filmmakers and said, look, we're going to try doing this virtually and going online and streaming your work. And of the 18 films, eight of the filmmakers opted not to do that.
Ah.
At the time, streaming was extremely new and fraught with worry of having people steal your content.
Oh.
Yeah, streaming is like taking off your underpants. It's really without very strict protocols for security, you could lose your content and have it just be freely available to everyone. And everyone's seen pirated content. It's not always great, but people do it. So we needed to find a format that was extremely secure and 100% reliable. And we found a wonderful platform called Eventive, which has now gone on to become the leader in the industry. But at the time, we were all kind of like, whoa, I don't know. What are you going to do? And all of the film festivals were trying to figure out how we would pivot. And we were able to do that successfully for Women in Film, and we made that free. In September, we went to a full format of 100 films again, or 97, and we were able to stream those very successfully. And one of the things that we did learn, which was kind of a silver lining, was the availability of doing pre-recorded interviews with the directors.
Ah, okay.
And that's been extremely satisfying, and we will continue to do that, because we can't always bring directors from all over the world, but we can reach out to them and pre-record, as you and I are doing, mm-hmm. that will inform the work. So that's been really, really successful.
Now, the next couple of questions may be invalid now, because I didn't realize that you were going to be sticking around as a volunteer. But so, my next question was, what will you miss most about this organization? Maybe you'll just not miss anything and maybe be really happy that you don't have to be the boss anymore. You tell me.
Well, you know, I have to say, I don't know, David, if you were able to see this beautiful short film that we put together as a fundraiser last month. It's called Up to Something. When we realized that we had to do something new, I had the rare and humbling opportunity to call all of our special guests from the past and talk to them about what their experience was here in Port Townsend. And my deep, deep pride in representing our community on the world stage with such remarkable people like Bruce Dern and Beau Bridges and Chris Cooper and, you know, our friends around the world. It was so satisfying to talk with them, and I will always miss the opportunity to represent our community in that way.
And my other question, which again may be invalid at this point, is what do you plan to do with your time now that you're going to be, quote, unquote, officially retired? But you really won't be. However, maybe the impact on your time will be less?
You know, my grandkids are growing by leaps and bounds, and my grandson, who has been living in Hawaii, is coming back to live in the community. I'm really excited about that. So he'll probably be going to Chimicum High School. So I'll get to be with him, and my other two grandkids are 3 and 6, so I could spend 24 hours a day just playing with them. That would make me endlessly happy, instead of constantly saying, you know, you guys, I've got to go, I've got to work, I've got to go back to work, I can't stay, I've got to go to work.
Now it all makes sense to me. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You spent a quarter of a century in small business management before you came to the Port Townsend Film Festival. While you clearly have management skills, did you also have a background in the arts, particularly cinematic art, before taking over as the PTFF executive director?
Well, you know, David, my background is in live theater. I trained as an actress.
Ah.
And I worked as an actress. And I found that the lifestyle just didn't suit me, to be constantly unemployed.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, it's a constant battle of where's my next role coming from, who will I work with, and I just needed something a little bit different. But I'll tell you, never dismiss the skills that liberal arts education will bring you, because my training in theater made me a very, very effective business person.
Interesting.
I feel so grateful. I use those skills every day. My background in theater led me to film, of course, but I don't have that deep cinematic education that another person might have.
I imagined you learned a thing or two about it over the years since you have been doing the PTFF, though, yes?
Oh, yeah. I am a sponge. I love talking with our programmer, Jane Julian, who has the best memory of any person I've ever worked with. She can name every director, every actor. She's just phenomenal. But my lexicon of all of that information is definitely deepened and broadened thanks to this work.
We're speaking with Jeanette Force, executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival, who will be stepping down from that job this winter.
Yeah. Speaking of movie stars, the Port Townsend Film Festival has a history of bringing movie stars, as you mentioned, to town for the film festival. How and when did that start?
Well, you know, we all basically draw from what we know. And basically, it's our friends, right? You and I both do that.
Right.
So once upon a time, Peter Simpson, who was the executive director for, gosh, I think 7 or 8 years, when Peter was in college, he's a Washingtonian, and so was his roommate, Robert Osborne, the host of Turner Classic Movies.
Ah, yes.
So Robert and Peter were fast friends, and when Peter and Rocky and Linda Yakush sat down and decided to start this festival, Peter said, hey, I'll call Robert and he'll help us. Well, boy, did he. For a long time, Peter could call him up and say, okay, I'm looking for a star. What do you got? And, you know, he was just invaluable in connecting us, and he was the one who made it possible for us to get Tony Curtis here that first year, and he would bring Jane Powell and just such spectacular people. It was really quite wonderful. But everybody doesn't have those connections.
Yeah, and in addition to bringing those sorts of people here, there's a very popular, especially in the Port Townsend Leader, a secret celebrity guessing game, which is sort of part of the festival. In other words, nobody knows for sure who the secret celebrity is going to be, but they give clues. You guys give clues. Was that part of it right from the get-go?
Well, you know, it was. And part of that is that no one can ever commit, and especially not actors. So even though you're building your program, you might be going back and forth with a special guest for months trying to get them to commit with no success. So what we found was when we could finally get them to commit, we had to set the hook fast. So we started the guessing game, can you guess? And when I took this position, we used to have a box up at the post office, and I went up the first time I went to get the mail. I opened the post office box, and it was one of those big ones on the ground level.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the wall, I hear this voice, hey, who's the special guest? And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in for it now. So what we learned from that, though, David, is that right after I took this job, the internet was up and running, and what we learned was the clues had to be incredibly difficult in order to keep people guessing. So I fortunately have a brilliant husband, Robert Force. So Robert took over writing the clues, and people were tearing their hair out. He was writing limericks. For great. It was really fun. But with the internet, it is very difficult to disguise. Anybody can Google anything.
Oh, yeah.
And it became more and more challenging to make that guessing game possible. And then what we realized over time was our interest was moving more toward emerging artists or directors that weren't necessarily well-known but should be.
Mm-hmm.
So our focus has kind of shifted from those celebrities to folks that deserve to be celebrities, if you will.
Can we assume that Guess the Guest is going to continue to be part of the film festival?
You know, Guess the Guest has sort of faded from favor because of the internet. But, you know, it could be revived again. A new person in charge is going to have many ideas. Things I've never imagined. So I'm kind of excited about a fresh perspective.
Who were some of the most memorable secret celebrity guests who came to Port Townsend for the festival? You've mentioned a couple.
Well, nobody will ever forget Cloris Leachman.
Yes.
Really a delight and a handful all at the same time. And, you know, there was the year that Diane Cannon sang karaoke up at Sirens. I think that Cloris did that, too, because somebody told Cloris that was the best margarita in town. She walked out of the party that we were hosting because we were only serving wine. She just walked down the street and went up to Sirens and ordered a margarita.
I wonder if a Cloris Leachman or a Tony Curtis, for that matter, can walk around Port Townsend and not be besieged like they might be if they were out in public elsewhere. Do you have any sense of that?
we definitely do offer them the opportunity to be so much more comfortable. And, you know, everybody has said how much they enjoy just being here and being in line. Karen Allen would go out to lunch by herself and happily be lunching, and then people would come over and talk to her, and she was perfectly happy to talk to them, but she didn't feel like she had to keep herself hidden away. She loves coming here for that reason.
Now, are you aware of any candidates who might be interested in taking over as the new executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival?
You know, I have had a couple people that have asked me if I thought they should apply, and I always encourage them. You know, this has been the chance of a lifetime for me, David. I could not be more grateful for this 12 years of unbelievable growth and opportunity. It's the coolest job in the world.
It does sound like it, yes.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, whoever that may be, what advice would you offer to the person who follows in your footsteps?
You know, it is such an intuitive job, and it's interesting when you are first coming in contact with filmmakers, and you meet a filmmaker, and you just feel this energetic fit with them, and you know they're going to love being here, and you know that you need to get them here and then maybe set up a road show with them to take them to other communities that are out here on the peninsula, and you do this with very little information. But you have to trust your intuition. If you see a film that you think, God, you know, I believe that this is a really important film, and it's very hard. It's not an easy film. If you trust your instincts and you program it anyway, that film will go on to win the audience award.
Now, the main reason I wanted to talk to you before you walked out the back door is I wanted to walk down memory lane with you. What are some of your favorite memories from your years with the Port Townsend Film Festival?
Well, you know, one of the things we always have to hassle with is the weather.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, having the inflatable screen out there, and then it starts to rain, and what are you going to do? Well, the very first time that Karen Allen came, we had programmed, it was Starman, and it was pouring down rain. So I introduced the film in a yellow slicker, and Karen was there with me, and then I immediately took her up. It was before the Starlight Room was open for movies, so I took her up there, and we were having a party up there, a kind of a reception for her. And she said, oh, I'm just so sorry. You know, nobody is going to come to see that film. And I said, well, you know, maybe the rain will let up. And I walked over to the window with her, and we pulled the curtain to the side. And in the 15 minutes that we had been upstairs, the rain had stopped. The street was packed. And the look on her face was sheer delight. It was so beautiful, so unexpected. And you know, I guess really the weather does tie into a lot of my special memories. There was a year, again, it started raining. And when it rains a lot, you have to pack up all those straw bales, or they are so wet and soggy that they can't be sold to the horse farm that we usually sell them to afterwards, and they're too heavy to move. So when it starts raining, you have to start slinging bales. So we slung all the bales, and we got them underneath the cover that we have out for the Silverwater to use for meal service. And we ended up building, unexpectedly, kind of like a little fort. So now we had this little enclosed fort with straw bales. It's really cold and wet outside, but we can be inside. And it was a year that we had candles in wine bottles on the tables because we served spaghetti.
Ah.
So we had a couple of those wine bottles in this little camp that we had built. And my friend Dustin Casper, who used to come up from Seattle, he works for Seattle International Film Festival, but he's also a tenor at the opera.
Mm.
He decided he would give us a concert. So there we are in candlelight in this little straw baled camp, listening to opera and feeling like the most special people in the world.
Wow.
It was just a magical night.
Do you have any particularly funny stories that you can tell us about things that happened during the film festivals over the years?
Oh, my goodness. You know, Danny Glover, he was such a great guest. I loved spending time with him, and he is so inspiring. But Danny is one busy human.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny could only commit to one day at the film festival. So he came on a Friday. He did a beautiful presentation up at the Presbyterian Church with a number of other guests. We were talking about diversity and how to find more racial clarity and peace. It was just beautiful. And then we did a film with him. Then we had a party with him. And I said, Danny, what are you doing next? And he said, oh, well, tomorrow morning, I'm marching with a trade union. I work with the unions all over the country, so I will be in a labor movement tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And I said, oh, well, how are you getting to Seattle? He said, I don't know. And my heart just sank. But I looked at this fellow that he had brought with him, and he said, well, let me see. I'll call about a car. And sure enough, at midnight, after we had all partied mightily, this black Cadillac pulls up, and Danny and his assistant and three other people get in the car, and they drive away, and I'm standing in the street with my friend Sonny Flores, who made that whole appearance possible. And Sonny and I looked at each other and said, this is really the longest day of our lives.
Boy, the stories, the things that you've seen. You've been in Port Townsend for 44 years. What is it about this little town that makes it capable of putting on an event that draws big-name movie stars and has a nationwide reputation in the film industry?
It does indeed. You know, I think it is the warmth of the people who live here. There's not a guest, we have never had a guest say anything besides, I can't wait to come back.
Ah.
And you hear that over and over again, because people are not aggressive or pushing themselves. They just want to be polite, they want to be generous, and they love movies. They just love them.
Yeah.
So the Rose is a big draw. So we bring people here that have that common sensibility of art and theater. Certainly, Centrum is a big part of that as well. So our love for the performing arts is held so dear in the community that our guests really feel that, and they want to come back.
Yeah. I remember doing a Woman in Film Festival Compass episode with you many years ago. I'm wondering, was that your idea to start that, and will that continue to be part of the program?
Oh, absolutely. It was my idea, and it came about inadvertently. This is our eighth annual, and it happened. We were talking. The board had said, you know, Jeanette, we really need to have more film. We just can't get enough of this. Why don't you try doing a smaller festival during the year? And I had a pack. It was back when we still got DVDs in the mail. I had a stack of films that I wanted to show that I just couldn't program, and it turned out that six of them, were all directed by women. And I thought, well, you know, we should just have a Women in Film Festival. And if it's women and film, then they're films that are about women or directed by women or have some subject that is interesting to women. It's all about perspective. And that's just been so, so satisfying. So it was not long afterward that the industry started turning in that same direction. But I'm sure they got it from us.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you said you'd like to make this the best year ever for the Port Townsend Film Festival. Can you let us know some of your plans on how you and your team can make that happen? Any thoughts?
Well, you know, we're going to make this as available as we possibly can. And, you know, our collaboration with the libraries here in Jefferson County has been really satisfying. And if the schools are live again, we'll be able to take filmmakers to the schools again, which we miss so much. this is the year we want to reach as far as we can with our filmmakers and our content, whether it's live, in person, or if it's digital. We are going to make our outreach as broad as it possibly can be and collaborate again with Peninsula College, with the school districts, with the libraries, and make sure that independent film is a part and is available to as many citizens as we possibly can.
You recently had an event called A Toast to the Future, Virtual Fundraiser and Happy Hour, and you asked people to share their memories of the PTFF. How did that go?
You know, it went really well. And, you know, just like everybody else, our volunteers are the backbone of what we do, and there were so many volunteers on that call that could remind us, again, of slinging those bales in the middle of the night. My friend Brian McLaughlin, who was always on hand late at night to say, okay, Jeanette, I'll just open my truck up. We can load everything we need in there, and then we can worry about this tomorrow. You know, so many people have welcomed filmmakers into their homes that they still have relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the opportunity to have, it was really great to have Elliot Gould here, but when nobody had made a plan for him to have dinner, well, Bob and Linda McGuire just looked at dinner, and they're in their house. And those memories never go away.
If someone is listening right now and they would like to make a donation to the Port Townsend Film Festival, how would they go about doing that?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, David. Thank you, because those donations make so much of a difference to us. Our website is PT, that's the letter P, the letter T, filmfest.com. And you can go to that site, hit the donate button, and also make sure you see the beautiful short film. It's called Up to Something, and it begins with Bruce Dern, who gave us this beautiful interview, and he led with, you know, I walk down the street, and I look at these people, and they've got this look like they're up to something. I don't know what it is, but I want to find out. And that leads off the short film. It's just beautiful. Thanks to Terry Kennison, who built that film for us, used some clips and stills from Jane Champion and Mark Saron, and so many artists in this community make our work possible.
And my last question in every interview is always the same. Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to add?
Well, I would like to add that one of the first things we did when we started this festival was reach out and find ways that we could communicate with the greater world. And we used to do it on TV, and then we would do it on a radio station in Seattle. But the day KPTZ happened, the Port Townsend Film Festival embraced that mightily, and we've been so proud to be a part of your journey, and I'm really excited about your new home out at the fort, and we're going to make that even better.
With Jeanette Force, Executive Director of the Port Townsend Film Festival, this is David Cunningham for the KPTZ News Team. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon, with repeat airings Mondays at noon and 5 p.m., exclusively here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.